Yeah.
You guys can just sit up there. Then you don't have to play Jack in the Box. So we're going to open a subcommittee of the Public Safety Subcommittee of Ways and Means. Joining me are Senator George and Representative Butler and myself. Senator Devlin and Representative Hansen will be joining us later, so we can go into work session, but they're otherwise occupied and excused. So, Doug, you want to start walking us through the where we're at?
Chair, there is a memo. First of all, let me apologize. I just suddenly realized I don't have a tie on. If you want to adjourn for 20 seconds, I'll go get one. Otherwise,
I think we should all take off our ties.
I apologize.
Legal without a tie. That's a question.
I didn't realize it.
So it's something out there.
Well, lots of things.
Well, Bill Cross isn't wearing a tie, so that's all
okay.
Right.
The memo in front of you, it's a rather large agency with many units, so that's sort of the reason for the length of it. Let me talk about some agency-wide issues. The top there shows that our recommendation in terms of LFO will be roughly $4 million less than what the governor had in his budget. We'll go through the reasons for that as we go through the work session document. Let me ensure you also understand these agency-wide issues. There was a major reorganization that is part of this budget, administratively so. When you look at some of the numbers from one period to another, keep in mind that much of the difference may be because of the reorganization. And that's one reason I did the chart at the bottom of the page, both for reorganization to show the impact on positions. So when we get to that, that may help. There is a projected deficit right now for the current biennium, 2001-03, because two major factors, I think we've talked about these before. One is right around $500,000 for a fire that the state anticipated the feds would pay for. They are now backing off. The feds are, and the department and the agency is appealing. Bill, do you have an update on that?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Bill McGee from the Department of Administrative Services. It appears that FEMA will actually be participating in those costs, perhaps to about half of the amount. So the general fund obligation there will probably be closer to $250,000 rather than $500,000. We will have an emergency board type request too fairly soon on that.
And the second item is the major reason is the inability for them to sell a plane. It has been marketed. It, just like the first plane, the price continues to come down as through the RFP process, and hopefully they will get that sold by the end of the biennium, but we'll see. And the co-chairs are aware of this. The agency has put some things on the table to pay for this deficit, and we'll continue working with them on that. We'll bring that back at a later date. The table at the bottom just shows what's happened to the agency through the budget process in terms of positions, which is the easiest way to show it. And the last line of that table by budget unit or division shows the percentage reductions in the number of positions. So patrol is down by about 25. Fish and wildlife is down by about 10%. Criminal investigation is down by a little less than 10%. Forensics is down almost 60%. That's before the 35 positions are added back, and that is part of our recommendation. Information management and LEDS is down about 40%. Human resources and training, and human resources is their business functions and their command structure in large part for the field, as well as dispatch and some other things. That's down about 30%. Fire marshal is down about 11% in terms of number of positions in the governor's recommended budget, and emergency management is down about 6%. Overall, the number of positions is down just over 25%. Between 2001-03, before the budget cutting started, and the governor's recommended, or balanced budget, excuse me. On the next page are the what we'll call the budget or the agency-wide decisions on merit, vacancy savings, AG, DAS assessments, and inflation. These total almost $10 million total funds, about $7 million general fund. But keep in mind the merit increases are not the property of the subcommittee. The vacancy savings go toward solving or filling the roughly, I think it's $52 million in the co-chair's budget. The Attorney General savings are the property of the co-chairs, as well as the DAS assessments, but the inflation is the property of, at least for now, of the subcommittee. And in terms of inflation, we're looking at roughly about $830 million general fund taken out for inflation. And as we go through each of the divisions, you can vote on these separately, but these are all laid out in one location here. I do want to talk about vacancy savings in specifically, which is on the next page. As you are aware, we are required to, as LFO staff, to take a look at vacancies. We are using a list that was provided to us in March of vacant positions at that time. Those totaled 763 total positions. But that list has many things in it. 289 positions were never funded. They were most likely, on the most part, positions requested by the department and agency request, but not provided funding or approved in the governor's balanced budget. 253 positions were abolished as part of the ballot measure 28. So that means 71% or 542 of these positions out of 763 really were never funded in the governor's budget, but they were on this list. 32 positions have been filled since that date. Many of these are trooper positions or forensics positions that have been called back. 54 positions are in policy packages, which the subcommittee will look through separately, and that leaves about 135 positions that are vacant. In taking a look at these vacancy savings, I use the following, we use the criteria set out by the co-chairs, but these are more specific considerations I've listed here. We are recommending abolishing 67 of these positions, but we felt that all the trooper, sergeant, and other sworn positions in the field should be held harmless. That accounted for a good number of the 135 positions because of the cuts that have already taken place. We also felt that the vacant positions involving support staff out in the field, and a lot of this were the support staff that dealt a lot with the public as they walked in the field offices or helped fill out reports that troopers are required to fill out, that if you took those positions, and these have been, others have been substantially cut in this area through the budget cutting process, you would be taking time away from troopers to perform their usual duties, because they'd be in the office doing paperwork that some of the support staff relieves them of. There were a number of vacant dispatch-related positions. I think all of them were here in Salem. Keep in mind that they have now gone to two dispatch centers statewide, one in Salem, one in Central Point. And looking at those and talking to the agency, LFO is recommending that you take three of the nine vacant positions. Presently, there are a number of overtime issues with the dispatch staff, and that's why LFO is not suggesting taking any more. They were waiting around to fill these positions until they had a better idea what the budget was going to look like coming out of session. That's why there were nine, partially why there were nine vacant positions here. There are seven fleet maintenance positions. These are folks that are out in the field that clean cars, take them in for service, other things around the fleet, and other miscellaneous duties. We are suggesting, for the same reason we felt on the support staff in the field, that these should not be abolished. Again, the functions that these people play generally take time away or perform duties that troopers in many ways would have to do themselves, like cleaning out their cars, gassing them, taking them in for oil changes or whatever these are. These seven positions are spread across the state. Four dispatch manager positions, LFO is recommending taking all of those. These generally reflect the consolidation of the dispatch centers into the current two existing dispatch centers here in Salem and in Central Point. A medical examiner position remains open that they use contract dollars for. LFO is recommending abolishing that position and transferring the resources for that position to professional services to reflect what is actually happening in current practice.
Sure, could I make a comment on that position? just that will be a short term. Our department does not have a problem with abolishing that. That's one of the doctors in the medical examiner's office. But right now, Dr. Larry Lumen, who's the retired medical examiner, is filling that position in professional services. But just for the record, we will need to come back when he moves on, which will be in the foreseeable future, perhaps sometime this biennium, perhaps early in the next, and we'll have to reestablish a position here at some point. So just so that's clear and for the future.
But in terms of the dollars, we are recommending transferring it and not abolishing the dollars that go along with the position. The vacant positions, I think there are three or four of them in ID services. We are recommending you do not abolish these. This is a section that remains a problem in our eyes of not having enough positions, and backlogs are starting to develop there. And finally, which I want to make sure there are some committee discussion around this, is in talking to the agency, they do not plan to continue the cadet program at the present. It's my understanding they are uncomfortable putting non-sworn, non-armed folks out in the field that in the responsibility these folks have done. We are suggesting you take these positions and at least for the other funds, which are the dollars used for parks, enforcement, as well as some of fish and wildlife responsibilities, the positions be taken, but the money again be transferred to another part of the budget for them to hire temporary employees where needed, usually retired troopers in many cases.
Chair.
Representative Butler.
Are there any measures, 66 or 44 monies there, or 56?
Mr. Chair, I don't think there is. I think these are contracts with parks directly.
Okay.
The ballot measure $66 have generally been used in Fish and Wildlife for the Oregon plan enforcement.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, that's it for the vacant positions.
The 289 positions that were not funded the governor's budget and included positions requested in the policy package, as part of policy package or agency request, but not included in the governor's balanced budget, those positions will go away.
Yes, they
will. So the 6,700 positions we keep hearing all this talk about in the building, 289 of those weren't funded and will go away.
I believe that is right, Mr. Chair. And that's not unique to Oregon State Police now. I'm guessing that these come off the same database. The reason these are here is once they're put in the PICS or position information control system, I believe is what PICS stands for, they stay until it rolls into the next biennium, and they're automatically, if there is no funding, they are automatic unless there's a key to turn that automatic off. They do go away. And the same with anything that was abolished because of ballot measure 28, unless they're restored. Those would automatically go away. PICS is an old system that takes a lot of work to maintain, and it's easier when it rolls to do all the maintenance of the positions.
Did you have something to add, Bill?
Just, Mr. Chair, these positions are not included in the governor's budget, so they're not in any of the totals that you're actually working with as you move forward. They just are in the PICS system. So.
But, Bill, do you know of the, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about vacancy savings in the building and all those kinds of things, and there's been kind of the 6,700 number that's been running around as to how many vacant positions. And we know part of, like, 300 of those are part-time people in what 300 of that part-time legislative people. There's firefighters and other people that make up like 1,900 positions. I just want to make sure, is this part of those positions or not? Do you?
Sure, I don't know that for sure, but I suspect if we were including all the positions the agencies asked for and didn't get in the governor's budget, that would be a larger number, so my guess is probably not.
Okay.
But I don't know that for certain.
Doug, can you check on that with Larry?
Yep.
Thanks.
Mr. Chair, based upon if it was in fact part of that larger number, I think that the co-chairs are estimating that we will, in fact, be able to find about 800 positions saved. It sounds like that's going to be on the backs of the public safety entirely at that point, or the OSP nearly entirely at that point. If that's the case, I don't know. That's
but these aren't funded, so there's no money.
I don't think, right. Yeah, there's no money, and I don't think that was taken in the calculation
of the 800.
My understanding would be that the 67 positions that I identified here, if you were to take them all, would go toward solving that 800.
Okay.
As a real rough target, and this is real rough because it's done just proportionally across agencies based on the number of positions they have. This subcommittee would have to come up with a little over 150 positions for that 800 target. That will give you an idea.
But it appears to me then that they are in fact coming up with their proportionate share.
At least some. That, I think, yeah, in this case. Some. But please keep in mind, Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, many of those 67, the majority of them are the cadet positions.
I see.
And
I see.
A lot of that funding isn't, the positions may be abolished as you go along with the recommendation, but much of the funding
goes away
would,
as well.
No, it would, we are suggesting you transfer that to another part of the budget to use for temporary employees to perform those functions instead of the cadets.
Oh, I see. So as opposed to using the cadets at patrol the state parks and so forth.
With, like, retired troopers
or
some other.
Okay.
They can actually carry guns, but cadets can't.
And we're training the cadets. We'll have them get permits like any other carry permit would be.
Well, we're going to have a little discussion about the cadets as we move forward, because I have some questions.
Mr. Chair, that takes care of the sort of statewide details, namely the vacancy savings. I think the others will come through. In terms of inflation, Danny and I worked together on that number, and the AG and DAS assessments. The AG is the work of this committee. The DAS, our Representative Butler's committee, work around cutting those. Moving on to the patrol division on page 4, this has gotten a lot of interest, of course. There was over 450 sworn officers in the budget passed about 2 years ago. In this budget, there's about 329 sworn positions in the patrol out on the road in terms of sergeants or total sworn officers. 20 of those positions in that decrease are because of transfers to another division, but that still shows a substantial decrease in the number of sworn patrol out on the highways. You see some in that first bullet, some national averages where Oregon does rank pretty far down the line in terms of the representation, not only by the state police, but state and local law enforcement police that regularly respond to calls were below the national average. Major reductions in patrol troopers in the past months hasn't been totally spread across the state. I think there was some testimony to that. One of the areas that was understaffed, and I use that quote-wise, is parenthetically, is that is the coastal area. But much of this was because the state police were trying to minimize the impact on families, patrol troopers, and the such. But that may be an issue that you may want to discuss further with them if the cuts continue at the level in the governor's budget. Potential legislative action, there has been discussion. I know Senator George is and the chair is interested in this. There will likely be more federal funds available coming from DOT, ODOT, for truck safety. But the impact of that money, and there's roughly about another 2.4 available. The patrol division already receives roughly $800,000. If you use that to backfill general fund, that will mean that resource, whether it's one trooper or part of a trooper, depending on how they allocate this, will mean an equivalent reduction in the capacity of this division to do general patrol work. They will have to zero in on truck safety, not just farm truck, but truck safety in general. And there is some discussions in talking to ODOT folks, so the feds may be thinking of expanding the definition of the eligible work for this to be a little more broader, but under current law, as I understand it, it is truck safety. And then, of course, there are other funding proposals out there. For example, the governor's revised budget includes doing some backfilling of gas tax increases to the tune of about $25 million. So those are things that are still happening out there that we do not address at this time. Mr. Chair, if you take a look at going through the policy packages, 101, this is a transfer. This has administratively already happened. It's a transfer of the Capitol Mall security, the legislative security, and the Dignitary Protection Unit into the new Office of Public Safety and Security, which is in the Criminal Division. Package 104, this eliminates four positions and uses funding uses the funding from that for construction zone safety. This is another ODOT contract. It really doesn't necessarily change the capacity. It just says we're going to fund this the way we do it right now. We did explore with them whether this is the most efficient way of using overtime, but the fact is all this work occurs in a small number of months, like 4 or 5 months each year. So the use of full-time positions doesn't work out that way, and what they do is provide the troopers with the opportunity for overtime in this case. I can't remember why there's a negative $1 in other funds.
Mr. Jerry, the director, about that. Andy Discar, just a balancer on the rounding and overtime and OPE.
Okay. On the next
is that
page,
an old accounting trick, Representative Buffett?
I guess. If there's a dollar in it, then there's got to be something there left.
Mr. Chair, the next on page 5, package 100. State police have used the federal COPS dollars, and this is often referred to as community policing and a number of other functions that both state and local governments have available to them, but the money is drying up for the use of for paying law enforcement, public safety officials. So what this package does is take, there were 20 positions funded with this, and they took a look at how much other funds other than the COPS funding was available for those 20 positions. And as a result, they figured they had enough funding in that pot for other funding, non-COPS funding, for 11 of those positions. So that is the reason for eliminating the 9 positions. And the lost COPS funding, or that federal funds, represents the $1.2 million of federal funds you see here. This package also establishes 9 limited duration positions in response to policy changes around the use of temporary employees. Mr. Chair, you asked me to look into that. I haven't had a phone call back from DAS on that yet, but I'll try to bring that to you again tomorrow. This is a policy change, and I think it relates to an ERB ruling, but I could be wrong, where you can only use temporary employees for a certain time period, like up to 6 months, and beyond that, you need to establish limited duration or other position authority.
Doug, how does it work to have limited duration OSP officers? Is that for the COPS program? Is that?
Well, I think these are two separate issues on this one. There's the COPS program, then there's the limited duration. They're just, and there are a number of limited duration positions in all kinds of state agencies.
But I mean, with regard to sworn OSP officers on limited duration.
I don't believe, Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, is any different from any other officer or other state agency. I know in the past there have been cases where they have had trouble. Agencies have had trouble recruiting folks because it is a limited duration position. Yeah, it's not unique to this agency.
Mr. Chair, the reason I express some concern here is these are very highly trained, very specialized personnel, and to have them on limited duration position has got to be really a catch 22 almost. So that was why I brought up that concern.
Mr. Chair, I think the agency would like to respond.
Major Discard, go ahead. Representative Butler, these LDs would be used for retirees coming back in an armed position to do that type of work. It wouldn't be our full-time troopers that you were responding to.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, there's also some additional funds in this package which are self-financed for amount available to service the aging fleet of the patrol cars. And that's financed with a reduction in pay differentials, which the agency does not think they need at this time. So that is package 100. LFO 1 through 5, these are the technical adjustments which we went through already on the table on page 2, I believe, and the vacant positions. LFO 006, this is as part of every budget when you go through it, there's always some technical changes in the preparation of the governor's budget. These have been agreed to between LFO, DAS, and the agency of needs to fix things, and this is mainly around personal service adjustments when they were scurrying around at the last minute to put the budget together. There were things that still had to be dealt with. And so in this case, they are eliminating empty limitation from ODOT, which they no longer need, which represents a $744,000. And then there's some personnel changes mixed into that, and there's an increased need for $12,849 of general fund. Let me tell you, though, all these technical changes in terms of the general fund actually result into a savings of around, I think it's $213,000 general fund. It's over $200,000 when you add all the divisions up. The general fund impact of these technical changes are actually a reduction. 007, when I was looking at this budget in some detail, as the agency has eliminated positions because of ballot measure 28 or other factors in the past biennia, there were position authority that was eliminated along with the dollars for that, but the accompanying SNS was not always reduced. So in taking a look and working closely with the agency, we felt you could reduce the SNS in this division by about $1.7 million, which still left a considerable amount for vehicle operation and the increased cost because of gas, servicing, and the like. What LFO is suggesting is you take this 1.7, and our recommendation is also invest about 900,000 of this 1.7 in other parts of the agency that I mentioned there. Capital Outlay and Office of Information Management for wireless and information system equipment, which was almost eliminated, and to buy back at least one implied consent staff person, which was a hole that was in the budget. And we'll see those later as the subcommittee walks through this document. Mr. Chair, that is the patrol division.
Okay. Question, Major Chris Gard, can you... So just so we have an explanation for fellow members that are asking questions, on the patrol division in terms of sworn officers on the road, can you maybe walk us through the FTE chain? In 9901, when we were here, we added the trooper position, the 100 trooper positions that ended up not getting filled or whatever happened as a result of those. So in 0103, we came back and we adopted at the beginning of the session 509 positions. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Dan Bisgard again for the record. The ledge adopted budget in 0103 was 461 sworn positions for patrol. That did not count seasonals. It doesn't count the professional staff. So 461 was the sworn number at the beginning of the biennium.
Okay. And what did we end up with through the cuts?
If I may, with the cuts and where the governor's budget is, with the reallocation of Homeland Security, we're sitting at 329 sworn. That includes the governor's restoration of 40 in his budget.
And those were the 40 that were restored in 55, Hospital 5548 as well, I believe, then?
It's the same 40.
Okay. So, Representative Butler asked, and is that a net reduction of 132 troopers from last biennium to... this biennium.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, it is, your math is correct. However, some of those went to another division in Homeland Security. The protection of legislative buildings as well as Capitol buildings here, part of that was moved to criminal division.
But of the patrol division, there's a net loss of 132 troopers from last session to this session.
Patrol specifically, yes, sir.
Okay.
How many to Homeland Security and other divisions, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, I believe the number is around 20.
It is.
Not mistaken.
All right, thank you.
And we have criminal up next, too. So.
Okay, thank you.
And overall sworn officers, do you have a number overall, Danny? From
Mr. Chair, we started at 0103 at 812, and we're sitting at 635 today. That includes the governor's, the 40, as I mentioned.
Those are sworn?
Yes. Does not include seasonals. Does not include professional staff.
So 177. Is that right? Is my math right, Tom?
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to follow where they were all at. What did it start at? I beg your pardon.
Chair, Representative Butler, 812, all divisions that have sworn officers, and we're now at 635.
So
There should be noted that not all that 800 or 612 or whatever the number is are necessarily on the highway. The command structure includes a number of lieutenants, captains, majors that are sworn officers.
Right, and that's where I'm trying to get to the 322 full-time.
That's also criminal and gaming and, and training and all the other divisions.
Right.
As well.
I understand that. I just...
Do they have a matrix on that, Mr. Chair? That's 177 reduction. We talk about the reduction of 177, and we find some popping up back in Homeland Security and gaming and other places. We have any kind of a matrix on those?
Mr. Chair, we can do that by rank if you're asking. I have a matrix certainly by division.
Well, I guess I was looking for the sworn officers because that seems to be an item that folks are really concerned and interested in, that we maintain Oregon's best and brightest.
Danny, can you give us maybe by
tell me if this is adequate
by division, and I don't know if you have it from 9901, 0103, legislatively adopted 0103, and then governor's recommended, and then where we're at.
Mr. Chair, yes.
On our piece.
Yes.
That way, if you can give us by division, then give us a total so we can see from year to year what it's maybe done.
Okay.
Since we're down to the work session.
No, Mr. Chair, if I could just express some angst, we are, if in fact we're going to be using folks on limited duration position that are basically returning retired OSP, but we have other qualified sworn officers who are unemployed looking for employment, they would certainly be considered in that process.
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, you're absolutely correct. As an example, for summer work, we still have quite a few we have not recalled, and they get the first choice of any position that we have that's sworn to do that type of work. May not be the exact salary when they left, but it would be the salary at that level to do that work. Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'm just anxious for those that have been trained, who may still be in Oregon, that we would want to try and utilize their skills as best as possible. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Danny.
Mr. Chair, the agency has taken steps to minimize wherever possible the effect on non-retirees. For example, you'll notice that the legislative security force may be a little younger than it has been in previous years. Where they used retired troopers in previous years, they're using sworn troopers today.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is probably more of a budget structure question for Doug. Just kind of using some round number, doing a lot of rounding. Under the LFO recommendations of all the policy packages, it looks to me like it's close to a $10 million reduction. Or
for
and
patrol?
Yet, if you add up all the packages, it's pretty close to $10 million. And yet, we're only $5 million down from the governor's recommendation, or if you look from on total funds, it's a difference from the governor's recommendation of $81 million to $75 million. Where does that other $4 million go?
The most of it is in the merits, in that 001 to 005, where you've taken out the merits.
Those were already taken out of the governor's?
No, those are part of, they're being taken out by the legislature.
Okay.
Keep in mind on the merits, Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, the governor put a number in his overall budget. I believe it was around $137 million general fund, but did not. It was on the bottom of the sheet of paper, for lack of a better term, but did not adjust agency budgets for that.
What I'm saying is, we've adjusted through your recommendations a decrease of about $10 million in all funds.
Right.
So why, if those are from the governor's recommendations, then why aren't we seeing a $10 million difference?
Well, I need to do my math and make sure that holds, Mr. Chair.
I think it's about a $6 million. I mean, from 81
to 75.
To 75.
$6 million.
It's $6 million. We know that if we go back, flip to page 2.
But all the policy packages add up to $10 million.
Mr. Chair, I think
what the structural difference.
I'll need to go look at the math and make sure the spreadsheets are working then. I had not. Things were balancing on the bottom line before, so.
Mr. Chair, there are other packages that Doug has not presented to you. It's the essential packages that have some of the compensation roll-ups from 0103 increases primarily. So I suspect you're seeing the differences probably in those other packages that aren't listed here separately.
But I'll double-check that.
We don't have Senator Devlin.
Well, I mean, no, we vote for the other policy packages as well, even though they may be roll-ups and not in this division.
Mr. Chair, those should be included in the governor's budget, the balanced budget. The essential packages are. So that's why I need to go back and do the math that Representative Hansen has sorted out. It has me a little worried now, so I'll do that right after this meeting.
Okay. Other questions on the patrol division? All right. We will move forward. It's not my intent to work the patrol division today when we get into work session, because I think that there's other issues that remain in the other funds, balance issues that remain. So, and we don't have Senator Devlin anyway. Doug, you want to move on to the criminal division?
Criminal division, again, keep in mind that actually the FTE increases over time here, and a lot of that is because of the transfer positions into here around ledge security, Capitol Mall security, and the dignitary protection, which we've talked about before. The big loss in this division was the loss of 25 detective positions. These are positions that assist the various local law enforcement agencies and DAs in investigations. They're major actors in major crimes and drug investigations. I've mentioned the second point around the transfer and reorganization. And the other thing that happens in this budget is that the governor's budget failed to fund the OSP component of the Tobacco Tax Compliance Task Force. Our recommendations, because the co-chair's budget as well as the governor's revised budget identified the funding in their budget for this purpose. Going through the policy packages, policy package 161, this is an increase, should be other funds, not P funds, excuse me, of $1.3 million. This restores cuts in 07, package 070, which is one of those essential packages, including two positions, two arson detectives, and the related S&S and capital outlay. And this was removed initially from the budget because of the falling fire insurance premium tax revenues. And we're recommending approval of this package subject to the passage of House Bill 3051 or some other measure that replaces FIPT or fire insurance premium tax. That measure right now would generate between $600 and $700 million and fill the holes in this budget, fire marshal budget, and DPSST budget as outlined in the governor's proposed budget. So that is package 169. It's restoring back to the levels from 2 years ago, or back quite a ways.
Representative Hansen.
Question on that. We're seeing two positions out of a $100,000 budget. Are there some significant big ticket S&S items involved in that?
Mr. Chair, this almost mirrors what was taken out in the package that took the money out in building the budget. If Major Brisgard can expand on that, but there are some major S&S components there. Package 105, this has a number of position-related issues in it. It has no general fund. All the general fund related issues are dealt with cuts internally in the package, but it does reestablish three high intensity drug trafficking positions, HIDA positions, where this is a joint effort between here, the Department of Justice, the federal government, local law enforcement around various areas of the state that see high drug trafficking. It reclasses positions, establishes limited duration positions for enforcing tobacco sales to minors. This program has been around for a while, but the money is being put in again by DHS, so they're reestablishing those positions, and then creates an office specialist position to solve a double fill. Overall, this increases by about 24,000 other funds and 443,000 federal funds, and like I said, any general fund costs that were in this package were self-funded through cuts elsewhere in their budget. The HIDA grant continues, so the positions are needed. I will say something around that. Someone brought to my attention out of a newspaper article, there's some bill floating around Congress right now that would take drug enforcement dollars away from states that have legalized marijuana laws. So we're looking into that to see what the impact on the state would be. But this state and other western states, Arizona, California, Nevada, all have passed medical marijuana laws of one type or another, and there's a measure in Congress that talks about taking that money and transferring to the federal government law enforcement folks in the state. Mr. Chair, that's package 105.
Thank you. 106, Doug?
106, you've seen before back in patrol. This is the receiving end of a package in patrol division where the legislative security, Capitol Mall, Dignitary Protection Unit is coming in. This also transfers a major position in, a captain position, and two cadet positions. Most of these positions all relate around the Office of Public Safety and Security. 001, 005 are the standard adjustments again. 006 is, this is what I mentioned before, this is adding five positions for reinstating the OSP component of the Tobacco Tax Compliance Task Force. The funding is going to be different than it was before. There is a bill, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, that instead of DOJ and OSP receiving general funds, they will be receiving other funds from the Department of Revenue. And those funds will come to these agencies under a contractual or interagency agreement with the Department of Revenue. But these $800,000 will fund five positions for this purpose. And these positions, I believe, were added back in 55-48 also. Am I right on that? I think I'm... 007, these are the technical issues. There is an increase of $229,000 of general fund, but again, overall, the general fund savings across the entire agency for these technical changes actually saves a little bit over $200,000. It does add three data entry positions that were actually left out of the governor's budget, so there is a position increase as a result of this package. Mr. Chair, that is a criminal. I need to check Representative Hansen's concern about the map, and I haven't done that here. I have a real concern now.
Sorry?
No, that's fine. I'm glad you caught it.
Forensics Division. First, any comment from the agency on CID?
All right. Mr. Chair, Forensics Division surely garnered a lot of debate early on in session. The special session 6, 5548, did buy back 35 positions for the labs, and this budget continues those positions into 0305. So there is an increase. It buys back those positions. Whether this is enough to bring the system back, it's unclear. The agency testified during the public hearings on that it felt it needed a forensic staff of 112 to keep the level that was around in previous years. This brings back, with the buyback of 35 positions, brings that to 90 positions. You had asked as part of the public hearing about how they're prioritizing services. They did provide the subcommittee with that, and if you need that information, again, I can it was part of the questions they submitted to subcommittee members. One of the concerns that has been raised is the staffing levels, the implied consent unit. There were 7 staff prior to the start of the cutbacks. There are presently 4 positions funded in the governor's balanced budget, and you'll see that I'm proposing adding 1 position back to bring that to 5. These positions are pretty crucial because these are the folks that keep the DUII breathalyzers working, testing, training, and all that goes along with that.
Well, the agency can be thinking about, while Doug's walking through the rest of his recommendations, I'm interested to know at the 90 staffing level, what kind of impact you guys think that this is going to have on the system, because if we can't get to the 112. Okay.
The subcommittee discussed the potential contracting out or charging for lab-related services. There was quite a bit of data submitted back by the agency that most states do run a centralized lab system that is funded by the state and do not charge out. I'm not sure if that's, there's still interest in that, but I bring that forward to your reminder. And just like Office of Information Management, almost all of the capital outlay in the forensics was taken out of the governor's budget, and I addressed that in my recommendations also. It's even though the forensics lab, they will be moving in a new facility with a COP issued for equipment. Most of that equipment is not the desktop equipment, but it's more around the fans and the part of the structure. So it microscopes do tend to break or wear out, and other lab equipment tend to break out. And so we had concern that they would have some resources to buy that back. And you'll see that in one of our recommendations. Policy Package 113, this is another one of those position related FTE packages. There's some reclasses. It reclasses the lieutenant position to a PEMF, which is actually doesn't really change much in the salary structure. It's taken a sworn position and moving it to a non-sworn or professional staff, which really reflects where this division is. There are not as many sworn officers or sworn personnel in this division because most of these folks are scientists and don't necessarily need the law enforcement training that the trooper on the road or in Fish and Wildlife or criminal need. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I tell you, this meeting is more pleasant than the meeting I came from.
Well, I was glad to accommodate you. Go ahead.
But the I just wanted to verify, just for the record, so I understand this clearly. When we dropped after the legislative session, and if you look at this, if a layperson looks at this, they think that all of these are layoffs. How many of the people that are the positions are actually the people that were transferred to the identification division from forensics? What was that transfer? I know that was cut again in the...
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, a lot of them were. Was there about 135 in the lab prior to the cuts? I'd have to get that. I can get that information.
Okay.
I think Danny's actually...
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, and Bill corrects me, I thought it was 82, but we did lose 14, so the net effect was 68 were transferred for forensics to the ID under Office of Emergency.
The reason I brought that forward, Mr. Chairman, is that I, too, favor the 112 over the 90. But sometimes when other people are looking at these numbers, and particularly seeing numbers that are not on ways and means, these numbers, they think that that drop off is all layoffs, and they don't understand that the transfer occurred there also.
68 is out. Well, Mr. Chair, continuing, it adds position to solve double fill issues that they were experienced in latent prints and in the implied consent and in the questionable document areas, and it establishes another lab tech position as a permanent position, which had been limited duration in previous biennia by mistake. Again, the general fund costs are funded by reductions in S&S in this, and there is a net reduction of $68,000 as a result of this package. The next package, 114, this package relates to the new lab. As you recall, They have been in the Portland lab for a number of years, which is located at the Portland Police Bureau. There had a multi-year process in identifying a new location for a forensics lab. There has now been a building purchased just south of Clackamas Town Center, good freeway access, well centrally located for that purpose. And this package 114 recognizes the increased rent that needs to take place for that new facility. It will be a DAS-owned facility, and the rent will be $2.29 per square foot per month. This reflects both an increase in the space, because the current lab is quite cramped, as well as an increase in the price per foot. The facility is purchased and is presently being remodeled. I'm not sure the occupancy, planned occupancy data, but it's halfway through the 03-05 biennia.
Chair, Representative Butler. I just want to confirm that the folks that work in this new lab near the Clackamas Town Center will not be paying the new tax in Multnomah County, new income tax.
Mr. Chair, they would be paying it. They would have been paying it in Portland. It depends on, I guess, where they live and work.
Well, they live and work, yeah. And they'd be working outside of Multnomah County. Is that correct?
They would still pay the tax.
Is Clackamas Town Square then in Clackamas County then?
Or is it Multnomah? Mr. Chairman, I think the way the tax is construed is it's where you live, not where you work.
So if these folks had been commuting previously to Multnomah County and now will be commuting to Clackamas County and we're not Multnomah residents, because this isn't located within Multnomah County.
No, it's where they live, not where they work. It's where their residence is.
So folks living in Multnomah County and working anywhere else in the state would not pay the tax?
Yeah, with the exception of legislators that work in the state.
I don't understand all that I know about it. So I just, where this is not located in Multnomah County, for those folks that previously worked in Multnomah County, they would have paid the tax, or they would not have paid the tax unless they lived there.
Unless they lived there.
So you could still work in Multnomah County and not pay the income tax. Okay. Strangest tax I've ever heard of. So.
I think they're trying to figure it out, too, if I read the Oregonian correctly this weekend. So.
Thank you.
Subject to change without notice is the caveat.
Well, I'm grateful it's located in a place where we're not going to force a new tax on the folks that are going to be working there. That's all I guess I'm expressing.
Okay. Package 115.
Mr. Chair, this is the other fund limitation for the COPs that we sold to equip the building and just not to purchase it, but to fit it out as a lab. Part of the building had been a lab for a large manufacturing, but there are still improvements that have to be done to make it work as a new forensics lab. The debt service for these COPs are in another division within within the state police. There had been questions of whether or not they needed all this new equipment with fewer labs or lab forensic scientists and staff in the labs. I did talk to the agency as well as DAS about this, and they feel that they need the entire amount. They are looking at some things that had not been in the original proposal, things like a firing range to test ballistic tests on for bullets and rifles and guns that have been fired in the use of a crime, some of those things. So that is part of the 2.6. LFO 001 to 05 are the standard adjustments. That's for this particular division. 007 reflects the restoration of 35 positions at a cost of $4.5 million general fund. That has been included both in the co-chairs and the governor's revised budget. This also keeps the Bend Lab open that had been included in the governor's balanced budget. I need to state or point out that the Ontario and Pendleton labs in the long run aren't meant to stay open as part of the Restoration 35, but the agency is keeping those partially staffed and opened as long as the staff is employed by the agency. I think they're recognizing the effect on families and the troopers themselves, but that is, as I understand it, their plan at this time.
Sure, that's correct.
So that means the agency will still can be paying a rent both in Pendleton and Ontario, and I believe there's one position in one of those locations and two in the other that are still there. 008, this is an Area 4 recommendation to add one position back to the implied consent. It had been seven before the cutbacks, cut back to four. This adds a fifth position, which is a trainer position to go out and help train local law enforcement and other folks on the use of the equipment. And the cost of that is $87,000, and that is financed from the cuts in patrol of $1.7 million in S&S. And the next package, 009, restores, again from that same funding source, a cut in S&S and patrol, $300,000 for capital outlay. The governor's budget has a total of less than $30,000 general fund, and that's compared to well over $1 million in 0103.
Okay. Can we talk real quick then? I asked you to think about it as we started the division about what the 90 versus 112 really means here and how all that interrelates with accomplishing the services that need to get done.
Mr. Chair, again, Dan Disgard. We appreciated that question during hearings and certainly raising the issue here. Certainly in the forensic lab to take care of the construct of four labs. The number of the best estimate based on workload is 112. Given certainly where the governor's rebalanced budget is, and where we are right now, the issue that will happen, obviously, will continue as you'll have backlogs increase. We'll continue to triage the best we can and turnaround times on those cases. We just know there's just limited dollars within this subcommittee, the governor's budget, your budgets that you're working through, and 90's number is where the agency is right now, and certainly we're very much appreciative of the governor as well as the co-chairs knowing that the 35, the $4.5 million certainly would go a long way in forensics to continue. But there will be triaging continuing. There will be backlogs. There will be turnaround time increases.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On not the restoration, but on keeping Ontario and Pendleton labs partially staffed and open, what's the cost factor for that? I can understand good reasons to do it and stuff, but is that a minimal cost or $12,000
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, and maybe Mr. Wilson's looking at a worksheet. I did provide a worksheet talking about what the cost per lab. Certainly, cost would continue in rent and square foot and what we need there. I think the bigger issue is that when you look at the long term and work product and efficiencies on that as budgets are being reduced, we feel as an agency, rural labs, in this case with the volume where your staff may be one, two, or three people, that we would have to move that work to some of the larger labs to do that work. But as the superintendent's testified, and I'm certainly reiterating today, is if we've got staff there, we continue to have staff there, we're going to keep those labs open as long as staff's there to provide that service in that area. And we testified that when you close a lab, the rural and local folks certainly have a concern with that, certainly with the response time to major crimes. And no matter what we do as an agency, we were going to have to make plans, do plans, so we could respond to those major crimes and get the work done. But certainly the evidence that's gathered then would be sent to the other labs, in this case larger labs. So certainly there are costs. I can get you exactly what we're estimating what the cost will be or what we're estimating this biennium, which would carry forward for next biennium with the staffing.
Mr. Chair, assuming that the four staff in those two labs, I was wrong, there's two in each of them. If they continued somewhere else in the state, those positions, the rent costs for those two labs are about $150,000 a biennium currently. So that, and there'd probably be some S&S savings, but rent would be the largest component, assuming that the four positions would go elsewhere in the system.
Senator Devlin.
Following up on that, though, if you didn't have those two labs in those locations, it would not be in every case, but there would be a number of cases where you would have to be sending out personnel from the central lab, which you would be experiencing, we'll
cost of travel and per diem and everything else for that, I would assume.
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, I think one of the estimates that was put together early, I think in response to the Chair's question, I think it was around $25,000 estimated travel time per diem, whatever, to get those criminals to those scenes. That's a fair statement. We're seeing that right now, certainly at Coos Bay, with that closure of that lab. We're having to send folks from Springfield, whatever the case may be.
Follow-up, also, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Devlin.
35 positions that were added, which bring you up to the 90. Would the difference between the 90 and 112, would they generally be reflective of similar positions to the ones that were added? So that if you were trying to determine what the cost would be of adding additional personnel, it would be in the same range in terms of positions.
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, that's correct.
Mr. Chair, Bill McGee from Gas. For some context, the reason the government's budget supported the closure of those labs was we looked at the and I guess there are really two different issues here. One is the processing of the forensics evidence. The other is the response to the crime scene to collect evidence. And it's very clear looking at the data that the state police have that the productivity of the small labs is much less than in the larger labs. And the forensics experts say police said if they were starting over from scratch, they would only build probably a single lab statewide in terms of the processing evidence. So with the reductions in personnel, we thought it was appropriate to move the analysis to areas where the productivity would increase. The issue of crime scene response, as Major Bisgaard indicated, the processing time is perhaps $25,000 a biennium based on when they would have to send out criminalists. They've looked at other options to have lower-level personnel who are not really the highly trained scientists to actually go and collect the evidence. So the governor supported those really out of a productivity issue for those small labs. An awful lot of the evidence already is being shipped back to the large labs for productivity, so it's not as if all the evidence sort of stays locally.
Can you get us the cost if we were to add those 22 positions?
Yes.
Sure, roughly, I believe, be around $3 million, just taking a look at the cost of adding back the 35 positions, be around in that ballpark.
Okay. I think what I'd like to do, so we don't get too far ahead of ourselves now that we have the full committee that's convened the work session on House Bill 5045 at this point in time, Christine, and what I'd like to do is go back and work what we can work in each of the divisions in terms of the packages, and then we'll start with the medical examiner's office and begin with the medical examiner's office after that, if people are comfortable doing that. That way we can get most of the stuff out of the way, then we can come with a few, like I want to approve all the packages in, like, for example, the control division and the criminal division, and then if we're able to work something out, we'll approve the final numbers and any additional packages the next time we come back for work session on this. Is everyone, committee's okay generally with that? So what I'd like to do is flip back to page 4 and entertain a motion in regard to the patrol division to accept packages 101, 104, 100, and LFO packages 101 through 105, 06, and 07. Representative Hansen moves the LFO recommendations in regard to the patrol division for state police packages 101, 104, 100, and LFO packages 001 through 007. Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Butler, for all the votes, Christine should be counted as excused. And then we'll go to the criminal division. And the chair would entertain a motion in regards to the policy packages on the criminal division if the committee is so inclined.
Move all
Representative Devlin moves the policy packages 161, 105, 106, and LFO recommendation 001 through 007 in regard to the criminal division. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Then we'll come to the forensics division. We've just heard the LFO recommendations. Chair to entertain a motion for policy packages 113, 114, 115, and LFO recommendation 001 through 009. Any objection?
Senator Devlin, make the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make the motion, but there isn't, looking at these, there isn't any reason that we couldn't make these now and revisit.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Senator Devlin moves the LFO recommendations in regards to the forensics division. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. All right, we're on to the medical examiner's office.
Mr. Chair, currently the medical examiner is in a former funeral home in the Portland area, and they will also move to the new site in Clackamas County, along with the forensics lab, and share that facility. There's also subcommittee discussion on the relationship between Lane County and the state in terms of autopsies, and Lane County seemed to, as one member put it, get a better deal than the rest of the state. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. But there is a unique relationship in terms of Lane County with the other, vis-a-vis some of the other counties in the state. And I just raise that as an issue because that was probably the one item that there was quite a bit of discussion about in the subcommittee.
Okay. And it's the chair's intent to see if we can do something about how we're going to deal with Lane County. My understanding is Lane County has indicated that they're unwilling to step up in regard to paying what I perceive to be their fair share, and I think that other members of the committee may perceive that same thing as we walk through Multnomah County and other counties across the state make significant contributions where Lane County doesn't. So. So I don't know how we're going to handle that, but Doug, we want to come up. If the committee is inclined, I'd like to come up with something to figure out how to deal with that.
Well, I would concur, and I don't know whether budget note would be appropriate. Maybe to talk fairly broadly in terms of how we define what the local support for this activity should be. It could be more consistent than it is now.
Mr. Chair, if I may, with your permission, certainly have some more discussions. If I may, Mr. Wilson, we gave some more information on this issue, and just to highlight again that by statute, depending upon population, Lane County and Multnomah County are by population, the state has to provide services, whether it's an employee, a medical examiner employee, or by contract. And as Clackamas grew and Washington County grew, the governor as well as this body in the past biennials were able to add additional medical examiner staff to do that work. And so what we have felt in the past is the contract with this particular group, a couple of doctors doing forensic pathology to take care of Lane County. Your other counties, again, do not fall within that population threshold. And so, again, by statute, we can pay up to 40% of those autopsy costs, depending upon what they are. And I will share with this group where the budget is that it's up to 40%, but this next biennial will be probably 20% each year. For that. So hypothetically, if I may, if the contracts went away June 30th, it would still be an obligation within our office, the medical examiner by statute, to provide the service or have the services shipped from Lane County to the Portland facility. And right now it's woefully inadequate and don't have enough doctors to do that type of work. I think they're running like 387 type maybe autopsies or whatever a year. So it's a workload issue for those doctors up there, and we have felt the contract is probably our best bang for the buck, realizing if the committee so chooses and wanted a doctor to do that, the dollars would be more, but then I'll share with this group, recruiting forensic pathologists to do that work would be problematic. It's been problematic in the past, but certainly we're open to more discussions and try to work with the chair and committee on this issue.
Major Biscar, though, couldn't we hire another forensics pathologist in Portland? If they were to ship people, if they chose to ship people from Lane County instead of the county stepping up?
Mr. Chair, certainly that is an option. I think the facility today and that workload would sort of be problematic, that many autopsies having to be done or shipped up to Portland. Certainly that is an option. I think our druthers would be, if I may, is if the committee's wishes were to hire another forensic pathologist on our payroll, we probably would try to maybe have that person maybe down in that area. Then again, we'd have to find facilities to do those autopsies. Certainly issues to work out.
I'm sure that the Lane County Sheriff wouldn't want to expend the time transporting bodies back and forth, so maybe they might be willing to step up.
we'll talk with the Wayne County Commission about how we're going to handle that particular piece. Or we could always reallocate patrol that is in the Lane County area. Okay, let's go on with the rest of the medical examiner's recommendations.
Mr. Chair, package 134.
I said that for the benefit of the league, for the counties. Can we make sure that gets communicated back? Thanks.
Mr. Chair, package 134 actually is a reduction of S&S. It takes care, when in billing the budget, in the middle of it, the department had a rebalance, and this sorts out what is actually needed and what the rebalance, how it was rolled up in the governor's budget. And so there's a reduction of a little over $85,000 in 134. Package 135 is similar to a package in the forensics division. This provides the rent necessarily for the new facility, as again, it's both reflects an increase in the rental cost, but also in this case quite a bit of new space compared to where they are today. And Major Buzgar just mentioned vis-a-vis the Lane County issue that space is an issue. Package 136, similar again to a forensics package, is the expenditure limitations from the proceeds of the COPs to purchase new equipment. I believe Representative Butler had some questions around whether it was able to lease this equipment, and I think the department went out and looked a bit, and they couldn't find anyone willing to lease forensics equipment. I think I can understand that.
Forensic-type equipment, that's correct.
The last there is the standard packages 001 to 005 on the standard agency-wide reductions for this division. And that is the medical examiner's office.
Okay. Questions? Additions from the agency? Okay. Chair, accept a motion for the LFO.
I'll move LFO recommendations concerning the medical examiner's office.
Representative Hansen moves the LFO recommendations in regard to the Medical Examiner's Office, Policy Packages 134, 135, 136, and LFO Recommendations 001 through 005. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, the next division is the Fish and Wildlife Division. Keep in mind, generally this is an other fund and lottery-funded division, but there is general fund in this division. That general fund is there for some specific duties in the past, like commercial fisheries. I'll come back to that in some special positions. But keep in mind that these are troopers that specialize in fish and wildlife responsibilities, but they are also law enforcement and are undergo the same training for law enforcement as other troopers do, and they provide the basic law enforcement. And in some cases, they're the closest law enforcement officer to submit that the problems that might exist out mainly in rural Oregon. So that's one reason the general fund is part of this budget, is to pay for those non-fish and wildlife functions that they sometimes perform. They will stop people on the highway. They will respond to accidents if they're the closest in many cases. One of the highest priorities for the members of your committee just through that wall, the Natural Resource Committee, is the restoration of the commercial fisheries program. This was six troopers who were general funded that assist ODFW, the federal government, others in enforcement and regulation of commercial fisheries in the state. From those members, it is one of their highest priorities in that subcommittee to restore that. And you'll see later on that we do that. LFO suggests that. There was quite a bit of discussion about the use of aircraft assigned to this division, and I believe that the agency provided quite a bit of detail on that in their responses to questions. Let me do remind you that the King Airs are not part of this process. This is the Fish and Wildlife, and I believe there are four planes across the state that are used. A lot of that is used for ODFW purposes, but the department gets reimbursed for that work. But a lot of times when you're up in the air, you're doing something for ODFW, you may respond to a more of a law enforcement related factor. These are all, I believe, single engine planes, are they not?
Okay.
Senator George.
Relative to the commercial fishing, is there any funding mechanism, or is that going to...
There is a funding mechanism. When we get to that package, it's taken care of. Mr. Chair, package 110 is establishing 6 limited duration positions to perform work formerly done by temporary employees. Again, this relates to the DAS rules, and these are often retired troopers performing seasonal work. This is internally funded, moving from temporary employment to temporary employment line item to other line items and personal services to provide the funding for this. Package 111 restores 2 of the ODFW funded positions and 1 position out of the Marine Board that were cut in building the budget. The revenues were not as what were insufficient to pay for these as they built the budget, but these are restored with additional money from the Marine Board for those responsibilities, and the expected package or passage of a fee increase bill for ODFW will in part fund the use of revenues there, but also will fund 2 positions here in this policy package. I do want to state that you may want to look at funding additional positions. I'll talk about that a little later from some of the other savings. 112, the federal government is providing more funding through the National Marine Fisheries Grant Program for enforcement and protection of agronomous fish and groundfish. I hope I pronounced that right. There were over $600 increase proposed in the governor's budget, but the agency has indicated there's likely only to be about $225,000. These funds will be used in part to lease boats and watercraft on the coast, as well as time in from airplanes, leased airplane time to for this enforcement purposes. Our recommendation is at the $225,000, reflecting what the department really thinks they'll get. If they get more than that, they can come back to the emergency board as part of one of their rebalances. The next package on the top of page 11 are the standard 001 through 005 vacant merits and those type of adjustments. 006 is the technical issues, fixing those in the governor's budget. Most of these are personnel service adjustments. Again, it saves $100,000 of lottery funds, but it increases general fund by about 12. 007 is restoring the 6 commercial fishery positions. These have been general fund positions. In a plan that's been approved by the co-chairs on reallocating the use of ballot measure 66, dollars, they can fund these with those dollars. It is an eligible use. I've asked that twice now, the staff in our office, to make sure that this is an eligible use for the ballot measure 66 funds. I'm told it is. So this does restore that package or these positions that are both in Portland and all the way up and down the coast. So the subcommittee across in the other room did provide the funding for this. So we're not having to use general fund. I do note here in the last box that because of savings and inflation merits, these are non-general fund savings, and you may want to think as you work through this whether you want to restore the 3 positions that are still missing out of this budget that were run in 2001 and 2003 in the fish and wildlife area, or add any additional positions. There are funds to do that. Funding to add back a fish and wildlife trooper is roughly a little less than $200,000. In fact, the 3 can be added back at a cheaper rate because there's still the S&S is still in the budget for those 3, or partially in the budget for those 3 troopers. And that is the fish and wildlife.
Doug, can we maybe take a look at to take some of this money and instead of, I know we had general fund in there for the cadets and the park patrol piece. If we could maybe free up that general fund revenue, I mean, we'll do a multiple fund shift deal where we could do the park patrol piece with, I think, because measure 66 is parks
and the other piece, I think it would be appropriate to take a look at utilizing the Parks Patrol piece as a backfill measure. I know we're switching around the cadets to have retired officers, but see if we can free up some of that general fund potentially to plug some other holes in the budget if we're able to do that.
Sure, I think we all take a look at that, but the parks enforcement was with a contract with the Parks Department, Parks and Rec Department, so that was other funds already. And wasn't
that's all
any,
other funds.
Yeah, there was
okay.
No general fund. Whatever general fund
we
taken
try.
From the cadet program was
other
all
areas.
In the patrol area where there was strictly a general fund purpose.
And those are gone.
And I would caution using it within this division, taking more general fund out, because I'm afraid we'll start to imbalance that. Where they are, we're using Fish and Wildlife Trooper for general law enforcement purposes, and in talking to the department, we're pretty close to breaking even on that, and taking any other general fund may create an imbalance there.
Okay.
But I'll work with the department to see if there is any opportunity to free up any general fund anywhere else, and I'll work with them in the next couple of days on that.
Go ahead.
That was the Fish and Wildlife Division, Mr. Chair. I don't know if you want to vote on the policy packages at all.
I'm happy to vote on the policy packages, so that's the inclination of the committee. So we get those out of the way. Representative Hansen, news.
I certainly all of the policy packages for Fish and Wildlife Division, with the caveat that we may be coming back to adjust.
Representative Hansen moves the LFO recommendations on the policy packages. Policy packages number 110, 111, 112, and LFO recommendation 001 through 007 in regards to the Fish and Wildlife Division. Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Gaming Division.
Mr. Chair, the Gaming Division includes both the lottery regulation and around the Indian gaming, as well as the Boxing and Wrestling Commission. The general fund in this budget is for the Boxing and Wrestling Commission. Issues that the subcommittee brought up is the location of the staff, and the only place where this staff in the state is co-located with the lottery is in Salem. There were some issues there that talked about, and there was also subcommittee interest and discussion around the cost per investigation for lottery vendor related checks. I believe that the material submitted to the subcommittee and the questions addressed that information. If they have any questions, we can follow up on that.
Okay.
The policy packages here, number 109, again, is taking care of some of the personnel issues. In building the budget, 070 reduced the division captain, the head of this division, by 25% because of the boxing and wrestling revenues falling. What this package does in the governor's budget is proposing restoring that to a full-time position again, but funding it from the other portions, the lottery and the Indian gaming revenues. In reality, that captain position spends the vast majority of their time on those two functions, and the boxing and wrestling is a very small component of time spent on that by that individual. This also reclasses a trooper position, to be an auditor position, so it reflects the skills and the work needs that they have as a division around financial auditing some of the Indian gaming operations. Troopers aren't necessarily trained as auditors, and the auditor position is what really is needed here. And, Mr. Chair, that is this particular policy package. We do adjust this policy package. This is one of the few packages where there's an AG rate, so we save a total of $653 from that package.
Doug, wasn't there a reduction in both the governor's and the co-chair's budget in the amount of $200,000
for the elimination.
I thought it was for the elimination.
Mr. Chair, the co-chair's budget did not include any elimination of the boxing and wrestling.
The governor's
did. The governor's revised did.
Okay.
And, in fact, the adjustment 006 that fixes the technical issues does include a reduction in boxing and wrestling by $53,000 to reflect some of the work or in building the budget.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
I'm trying to remember when the wrestling deal came through the court of the House, whether there, I thought there was another, it eliminated the tax on pay-per-view, but it seemed to me there was another revenue enhancement for the boxing and wrestling commission.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, there was a court case that eliminated the pay-per-view, I believe it was, revenues, and then there was the bill that came through this session that was celebrated over the weekend, I believe, by the WWE, coming back in. I need to take a look at where those revenues, the revenues from those kinds of operations flow. Bill, do you know?
Mr. Chair, there was a revenue estimate. I'm forgetting the number, but most of those revenues, I believe, some of those revenues go to the Department of State Police. The rest would go by statute to the Children's Trust Fund, which receives a portion of what's left over after the cost of regulation. But I think the amount of the state police was less than $100,000.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I think we need to double-check that, but I think Bill is probably pretty close on that estimate. We'll have to look at that fiscal impact, but there is a revenue issue there.
Mr. Chair, with that in mind, I would suggest delaying action on 006, and we'll follow up and see if there's an opportunity for some general fund backfill here.
Yeah, why don't we just wait on the gaming division in total, and we'll just move on from there until we get our arms around that one.
We could ask Doug to take a look at the amount, the dollar amount of package 109. Our quick figures we got in front of us suggested a different number in the governor's budget.
Okay, well, let's just go back and revisit that at a later point in time. Let's forge ahead on the other pieces. Human Resources Division, Doug.
Mr. Chair, this division, as I said before, is their business functions, but it is also the command structure for the field is included in this, as well as the superintendent's office. This division was hit quite hard with staff reductions, even though that the numbers don't necessarily show there in the terms of the number of positions, that is mainly because of the transfer in of dispatch, which I believe was like over 80 positions, transferred in just because dispatch moved into this division. LFO has some real concerns about whether the business functions have enough staff, things like payroll, human services, training, and other areas, and would suggest that would be something that, if funds become available as you further work session this, to maybe add a few positions back in for those functions. I believe there's one payroll person left in the budget, if I'm not mistaken, for an agency of that size. That does create some significant issues. And you also don't want the business functions of this agency to stumble, because it does cause other problems. And it may be a good area for investment if funds become available.
Okay.
The policy package is on page 13. 125, this is a transfer of the remaining training staff, four positions, three FTE. They are eliminating the training division and making a separate unit in this division. This package also a major position is transferred from Human Resources to the Criminal Division to head the Bureau of Investigation. That's also part of this package. 126, it provides the debt service, $626,000 general fund, that is required for the I believe it's 3.5 or $3.6 million COP sale for equipment for the new lab. The debt service is in this budget, or in this division's budget. That will increase to $2.5 million in 2005-07 as a commitment for that COP. 130 is eliminates a position around the Safe Kids program, which is transferred in the governor's budget from this department to DHS, to Public Health Functions in Department of Human Services. There's also some reclasses in this package dealing with office specialists, one positions to better reflect their job responsibilities. The general fund for this reclass is provided by S&S cuts, and the $168,000 reflect the transfer of the Safe Kids program to DHS. 131 establishes two limited duration sergeant positions, less than an FTE for those two limited duration positions to require or to meet those DASH requirements around temporary employees. It's self-funded. 001, 005 are the standard adjustments we've discussed before. 006 fixes the technical issues, makes personnel adjustments at a cost of just under $18,000 general fund. And 007, these are reductions that were included in the governor's revised budget. It reduces the use of temporary resources and reduces overtime in this budget. These were included in the governor's revised budget, and that, Mr. Chair, is the Human Resources Division.
Bill, I had a question on Package 131. Is this a DAS edict, or is it a... or is this something that is a legal issue?
Mr. Chair, there is language in statute about under what conditions you can use temporary employees, and they do, in fact, imply to be temporary, not reoccurring work that goes on. And where you're seeing in this budget us making this switch is because we're seeing part-time positions that are generally recurring. It's a seasonal workout somewhere. And so it really is a nature of the type of work that it's not just an emergency situation that resolves and doesn't reoccur again. But it is this ongoing recurring that doesn't need to be positioned.
Is there an AG's opinion
there
on
is,
this?
Sure.
Could I get a copy of that Attorney General's opinion? Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On policy package 125, where's the $1,200,000 other funds come from?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, that is the training dollars, CFAA dollars, that the balance that we have coming in for training.
From the fines and assessments.
From the fines and assessments, I apologize.
Other questions in regard to these policy packages? Motion?
Okay. Well, question. Is based on all of our discussions on criminal fines and assessment, is that a valid number, or is it apt to?
Mr. Chair, interesting enough, Representative Hansen, it's a note on the next page, actually, when we talk about the training division, which actually goes away. From what I saw, when CFA was cut in building the governor's budget, it was restored in places like DPSST and DOJ for the crime victims. But there was nothing restored for training that I saw. And I could be wrong in this. But so this number, I did not reduce this number because it wouldn't have been that large a reduction because of the fall in CFA revenues at this time. If they aren't backfilled, we may have to revisit this number a little bit.
But I think we'll have the CFAA discussion and then make the overall adjustments on where we need to be for CFAA.
Would you like a motion?
I would love a motion.
Whatever makes you happy just tickles me to death.
All right. Well, we've been
policy packages related to the Human Resources Division.
Representative Hansen moves the policy packages in regard to the Human Resources Division, policy packages 125, 126, 130, and 131, as well as the LFO recommendations 001 through 007. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. On to the training.
Mr. Chair, this is here for reference. There is a policy package, but this division goes away. It's part of this budget. As I've mentioned before, training resources for this agency have been drastically reduced. You'll notice the number of positions were 17 coming out of the session 2 years ago, was down to 11. and now in the governor's budget, it's really, I think we're transferring four positions, so it has been declined significantly. It should be noted, while other agencies got some CFA money restored, it appears that this function, it was not restored. I'm not sure the reasons for that. Even with the number of reductions in the number of troopers out there as part of this budget, there may be a need for a trooper school in 03-05 because of retirements and other factors. So I just mentioned that. And there has been ongoing discussions regarding the relationship between training at OSP for their troopers in vis-a-vis the DPSST law enforcement classes. There have been discussions that have been going on in the executive branch about integrating those training efforts to some degree and using the DPSST facility for training when that opens. Those discussions are ongoing at this point. The only policy package in this division which goes away is 133, which is the companion to something you just passed, again, which transfers the four positions. It also transfers a captain position to the criminal division for the Office of Public Safety and Security. That's why the numbers don't match completely, because there is another position going to another division other than human resources.
Okay. Representative, or Senator Devlin. Senator Devlin moves the LFO recommendation for the training division, which is policy package 133. Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. On to criminal justice services.
Mr. Chair, this actually receives a significant increase in limitation in our recommendations. I'll talk about that in a minute, but this is a division which receives federal funds and allocates it out to various local units and others, money that comes in from the federal government. Homeland security issues remain a major issue for this division, other parts of the state police, other state agencies, and the increase that you see in my recommendation is based on new money that will now be received, $22 million worth for Homeland Security that was not anticipated at the time the governor's budget was being put together. Keep in mind, much of the Homeland Security money that comes into the state, much of it is required to go on to local government. One of the most recent funding streams, I believe 80% had to go on to local governments. I am sitting down sometime, hopefully this week, with the folks in this division to get a better feel for some of the Homeland Security dollars that are expected. They also flow in through the Office of Emergency Management. The policy package is here. Policy package 137 provides some limitation for federal travel expenditure reimbursement that the budget did not completely have. The standard adjustments are in LFO 001 to 005, and then policy package or adjustment 006 reflects that federal fund limitation increase. These are dollars that are coming in for sure. This may be increased during the biennium as more Homeland Security dollars flow in to the states.
Any questions in regard to criminal justice services? I'd like to explore before the next time we come back, maybe not tomorrow, but later on, where we're at with the, if there's any opportunities federally with some of those federal funds to deal with your interoperability and IT issues, so that we can take a look at that from the state level. I'm concerned that if I look forward to the next item that there is no ability to have federal funds limitations that's there either, and I'm just wondering of what we know that's out there if there's some federal fund limitations that we need to be able to expend internally and provide the expenditure authority for you to do some of the things that need to get done. Okay. Motion.
Move the LFO recommendations for
Senator Devlin moves the LFO recommendations in regard to the Criminal Justice Services Policy Package 137 and LFO recommendations 001 through 006. Is there any objection? If there's none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, Office of Information Management, this unit, like Human Resources, was hit hard by staff reductions. They lost roughly 40% of their staff, affecting communication, systems maintenance, system support, and other areas. Again, like Human Resources, before you close this budget, this may be one area you may want to talk about if there are funds available, adding at least some staff back to make sure their systems staff is sufficient to run the agency. Again, it is an infrastructure issue for the agency. One of the concerns that LFO has is whether or not there is money in the budget for wireless communications and information systems equipment that may have to be replaced, and one of the recommendations we have does address that in part. The chair just mentioned the interoperability issue. That is a serious issue that need to take a look at what funding is available for that, and it stems a lot from the findings around the happenings of September 11th from a couple years ago, and the inability for many of the law enforcement agencies to talk with themselves or between each other, and in many cases that is not it remains a problem. One of the concerns that LFO has is many law enforcement agencies across the state are investing dollars in communications networks, communications equipment, and they don't always necessarily follow some of the things that are coming down the line from the federal government around interoperability. One thing, going back to the previous Criminal Justice Services Division, I did ask that whether some of that $22 million or other Homeland Security funds were going in for use of by locals for that purpose. They said yes. And one of the requirements they have in the use of those funds by local agencies is that they have to meet the federal guidelines around interoperability. So the agency is already doing what they can with the funds they have with local governments. The ID, the Identification Services Program, is transferred into this division by forensics. It is underfunded, or in terms of the reductions it took, by 14 general fund positions. LFO has some concerns about the growing backlog in this area, and like some of the other areas, this may be an area, if funds become available, or that you should take a look at for the overall impact on the public safety system. The policy package in this division, the first one, 121, is a reorganization issue. They are proposing to transfer the LEDS, or law enforcement data system, positions into this office and get rid of the LEDS division as a separate division. You'll see in a minute the corresponding package that goes along with this in the former LEDS division. We recommend adjusting this by a small amount of dollars to reflect the change in the AG rate. In addition, two cadet positions are transferred from this division to the criminal division. And those have popped up before when we discussed the criminal division. So that is package 121. It is a transfer package. 139, it switches S&S expenditure categories between professional services and data processing to reflect what actually happens. This is one of these lines, data processing is one of those lines that require legislative authority to move funds in and out of it and not transfer another S&S category, so that is why this package is here. 123 increases the expenditure limitation for AFIS, which is the automated fingerprint information system, to reflect the growing workload and the growing revenue that comes into that because of the workload, and for rent, equipment, and the fees of the Western Identification Network, which is a network which is shared across Western states around fingerprint identification. this reflects expected increased demand. 001, 005, the standard adjustments. 006 fixes the technical issues in the governor's budget. This is where you get your savings. When I talk about saving a little over $200,000 general fund, here's where the savings are. It's a reduction of almost $1 million in terms of the personal service adjustments that need to be made. Again, we have reviewed these with the agency and DAS. 007 takes care of two problems that we identify as issues. Again, like in forensics, there's very little money left in this budget for capital outlay. I believe there's only about $39,000 to $40,000 left. We suggest and recommend putting $500,000 of the savings from the SNS reduction of the patrol back in, both for wireless communication replacement if necessarily, and capital outlay. Again, the budget for capital outlay was over $3 million. Now, they don't need that much because there's a major switch replacement, systems replacement in one of the systems. I believe it was actually LEDs that was hardware related, but still only $40,000 left for wireless and information systems. Capital outlay is way too little, and that's why we're recommending this amount. And finally, 008 was a reduction in out-of-state travel. This is part of the governor's revised budget, and LFO suggested that you also take it for a large savings of $20,000.
Questions? Can you refresh my recollection of why we transferred the ID Bureau here?
Mr. Chair, again for the record, Danny Bisgard. I think the feeling within the department was that the ID database of records, criminal histories, fingerprint databases were better served with what we'd call the Office of Information Management working with LEDs, because that's a database where our folks, public safety folks, are checking records all the time. So we felt streamlining issue, efficiency issue, that we felt that ID should be part of that.
And how many sworn officers are you going to have now in this Office of Information Management Division?
Chair, one.
One, okay. Other questions? Motion? Senator Devlin moves the recommendations in regard to the Office of Information Management policy packages 121, 139, 123, and LFO recommendations 001 through 008. Are there any questions? Hearing none, so ordered. LEDs, Doug?
Mr. Chair, LEDs is another like training a division that exists and is going away. The package you just approved, 121, reflects the receipt of the LED system. And the one remaining package here is the money going out of the training or the LEDs division to Office of Information Management. You discussed two major issues. The first was uniform crime reporting. This is one of those areas that we still have some significant concern about, needing to make sure there's money in the budget so that this reporting is done, reported to the federal government. Right now, it is underfunded. Mr. McGee and others are exploring other resources to backfill that amount. That's why you don't see a recommendation at this time, because there still may be some other sources. We're looking at Portland State, OHSU, and some other areas providing some match. We may also use burn funds for this purpose, but it would take that local or the state match to do that. So this is one of those items that we will be coming back to you with before the end of session to deal with. It's our recommendation that you do have to add back some positions for uniform crime reporting, because if you don't, you risk losing federal dollars if you're not doing that function. The second issue there was quite a bit of discussion about, I don't think it was necessarily a budget issue as much as that local jurisdictions have a variety of different reporting mechanisms and approaches for crime
reported information. There's quite a bit of discussion in the subcommittee about that, and I just raised that because there was quite a bit of discussion.
Just a question regarding burn grants and other grant monies that are available as either OSP review or OSP origination. Do you have the ability to not grant some of those grants should the jurisdictions in which they're applying not be up to date on their uniform crime reporting data?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to have to check on that. I apologize. I don't know.
Can you check on that and get back with us before we go next time? It'd be my intent to do policy package 138 in regard to this section. I think the Office of Emergency Management and the State Fire Marshal are both to a great degree up in the air. So I don't know if we can wait till. I don't think we're going to continue. I don't think there's much else we can work. So I don't see a need to come back necessarily tomorrow to work everything else.
Mr. Chair, the other things are the performance measures and
right.
Subcommittee and any budget note that members have, but if you would like to wait, that's fine.
Well, why don't we do policy package 138? Senator Devlin moves policy package number 138 in regard to the law enforcement data systems. Any objection? So ordered. Other budget notes the committee's interested in. I have a budget note that we're working on in regarding ODF&W in regard to the training of the troopers, and we'll deal with that. They moved people around, but some of those people didn't have the ODF&W training, so I've got a budget note to put in on that. I'd like to explore the burn grant piece and the other grant funds that are available if jurisdictions aren't participating in uniform crime reporting, which can benefit the state or hurt the state, but at least we don't have the data, so I'd like to disincentive or incentivize them to participate in that project. Other issues in regard to where we're at?
Chair,
Representative Hansen.
Very general, kind of, again, more of a budget structure issue. We see an increase of $22 million in federal funds in criminal. In criminal justice services, that would bring our federal funds up to $78 million. If, and at the same time, we're looking at potentially underfunding the business operation, and if a lot of this function is moving federal funds from through the state to local government, 80% of that, I'm wondering if there's any way to capture any portion of that money to make sure that the business operation and the precise accounting of those federal funds is certainly a very, very important issue, because we want to make sure that we're in compliance on every aspect of them, and it's complicated. And so I'm wondering if there's any possible linkage between overhead charges or costs that we can legitimately attach to that could help keep up the business operation.
Okay. I think we'll explore those. I think we'll explore those things and have Doug explore those items further. Other items for Doug or the agency to look at? All right. With that, Doug, schedule for the rest of the week.
So if we're canceling tomorrow.
Did anyone, I mean, you've all looked at the performance measures that are in the budget. Do we need to have a discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think it's actually, if we're going to come, it'll be a while before we come back to this budget, and that will give all of us some time to look at those in greater detail.
Okay. And the other funds balances, I think that Doug provided a fairly thorough explanation of what we can or can't do in regard to the other fund balances. All right. With those things in mind,
the rest of the week, as you mentioned, no meeting tomorrow or Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday, OIA is scheduled. And then corrections is scheduled for early next week.
So we will have an afternoon meeting on Friday then.
We are planning on having an afternoon meeting on Friday. And we're not going to work the OA budget, we'll work it, but we're not going to send that out either.
Mr. Chairman, just so I can get this also simple. You mentioned in the 1999 study of control, if the state please could provide me that, I would appreciate it.
Danny, the 99-01, we had you guys did a staffing study for patrol that you presented to the Oregon legislature. You had it all laid out and stuff. If we could unearth the high-level management piece of that and provide that to committee members, that would be helpful, because the question is continuing to be asked about what's the appropriate staffing levels. All right. With that, we're going to close the work session on House Bill 5045, and we are going to close the work session. We will see you all Thursday. We'll see you Wednesday. Yes.